And we thank you for this time that you've given to us, that you've allotted to us to spend in your word and with you, Father, as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. I pray for this teaching as I reference chapter 43, a teaching you have laid on my heart, Lord. And I understand that if we had a handful, two handfuls of pastors, and they heard chapter 43, each one of our teachings would be different. I totally understand that. You have a vast, knowledgeable treasure in your word, God, and we thank you for that. So I pray for your blessing and your anointing on this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm referencing chapter 43, and I titled it, tell me if this sounds familiar, Relinquishing Authority is Giving Away Your Responsibility. And I'm using John chapter 15, verses 7 to 16. So in referencing chapter 43, I want to look at what Jesus was telling his disciples to do as he would soon have them on their own mission in taking his place, becoming his hands and feet. Jesus had these men in training. He would soon leave them, but it would be temporary because he'd return in the form of the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, lives inside of them and us until we die or go to heaven. So Jesus never left them by themselves to do the work he had given them to do. And the same is true for us today. Nothing's changed. Every aspect of our life is in service to Christ. Everything we do needs to be a part of his commissioning us and be faithful and obedient in doing it. Let me read the verses. Verse 7, John 15. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's where the work comes in. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice the delegation. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. Again, you see no reference in here to leaving your post as a believer, as a Christian. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, some have tried to interpret this as meaning whatever you ask the Father, he has to give it to you, and he can't deny it to you. But 1 John 5:14 plainly states, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, here it is, according to his will, he hears us. It means what we ask for won't be done for us unless our will is in accordance with the will of God. You see, if God was to grant us everything we asked for, not only would it be dishonoring to him, many times it could really come back to hurt us. I mean, there are some things I've prayed for that looking back now, man, I praise God he didn't give it to me. I thank God for that. Every one of us has at some time or another asked for something we wanted or maybe desired, maybe for us or someone else, and God has never granted it. I mean, some have pleaded with God, believing fully that God was going to answer them, and yet God denied their petitions. It all comes down to what Jesus said in verse 7. If the conditions governing the promise are being met, the prayer will be answered. But again, according to God's will and according to His timing. So here we see two conditions that qualify for this promise. The first one, if you abide in me. What's that mean? It means you're continuing in constant communion with Him. You don't take time away from Him for any reason. I mean, that'd be foolish to take time away from the Creator of the universe. Secondly, and my words abide in you. Not only should we be in communion with Christ, our lives have to be regulated by the Word of God, by the Scriptures. It's as we take the Scriptures personally, as we feed on them by faith and hide them in our hearts on a daily basis. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. It's a constant and habitual communion with God through His Word, until that Word becomes the makeup of our very being. That's what the Scriptures talk about, being conformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus. Until we become like Him, which will happen at the rapture of the church. Now, if we continue in fellowship with Him, and if His words are in us, then our thoughts will be regulated and our desires will be formed by His Word. Hebrews 4:12, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, Romans 12, verse 2. Everything Jesus did was for the glory of God. You know what He's telling us here, His disciples? He said, now you do the same. You do the same. You know what? I don't ever read in the Scriptures that Jesus took a vacation and went to Monaco. I don't see Him going anywhere. He stayed His post, man, all the way to the end. It comes down to whether our lives are honoring and magnifying the Father, or whether they're dishonoring Him. An unfruitful branch is a dishonor to God. In other words, you can never leave your post, man. You have to be there. Now, there is one exception you can leave your post. Only one. It's when you die. So fruit is not something you attach to the branch. It's the product and evidence of the life within. People will look to outward services or to the results of these services as a fruit Jesus is speaking of. But there's a twofold problem in looking at fruit that way. That fruit, again, is our work. This is what we're doing. When we stand before the Bema seat, that fruit, I mean, that's going to be our reward from the motive of our heart. First, it can be deceiving for those who do a lot of things in the will and energy of the flesh. Because in reality, their works are dead. Second, Christians can become discouraged because of sickness, old age, bad circumstances in their life. They can't do anything. So they're made to believe they're useless and can't bear any fruit. Well, at this point, you don't just leave and walk away from the work. You don't just sit on the sidelines and watch everyone else working. That's why it's so important for us to recognize this fruit is the outflow of our union with Christ. After all, He's the origin. He's the source. So there are four relationships we have in Christ. First, life in Christ, which is salvation. Life with Christ, which is fellowship. Life by Christ, which is bearing fruit. Life for Christ, which is service. So then the fruit is Christ manifested through us. John 8:31. And if that's the case, then we have to stay consistent. We don't back off. We don't leave. We don't go do something else. We have to stay consistent. Continuing in God's Word is not a condition of discipleship. It's an evidence of it. It's an evidence of it. Bearing fruit makes it known that we are His disciples. Christ's love to us is not affected by the changes that we go through. It's affected by our enjoyment of His love, and it depends on our continuance in it. The measure of His love for us was displayed at the cross, at Calvary. And as He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, He loves us just as much now as He did when He laid down His life for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. To abide in His love means to depend on it, to be persuaded that nothing will ever be able to separate us from it. Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. There can be no fruit for the Father. There can be no abiding in Christ's love unless there's a real subjection to His will. What is God's will? We find out what it is, we do it. We don't pass it on to somebody else. We don't walk away from it. We don't take a break from it. We do it. It's only as we're obedient to Him that He will have fellowship with us. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6. You know, it's amazing because when I had my church in California, I got 4 weeks vacation a year just from the pressure and the stress. But you know what? It's amazing because in the 14 months I've worked with the Reddit Corp, I've only taken 1 week. And I even shortened that 1 week because I wanted to get back into teaching. That's how much I love doing this. The Lord speaks of a twofold joy. First, there's the joy of Christ Himself. That joy which He had during His time on earth as He prayed in, I believe, the Lord's real prayer, John chapter 17, verse 13 says that. His joy was in pleasing the Father. It was in doing the Father's will. It was in glorifying His name. Hebrews 12, 2, that joy spoke of communion and obedience. We've all experienced the fact that when our fellowship with the Lord is broken, there is no joy. If I did something stupid, there's no joy. I mean, when David sinned against the Lord, he no longer enjoyed a comforting sense of God's presence. You want to hear him cry out and confess his sin? That's in Psalm 51, verses 9 to 12. Now, David didn't lose his salvation, just like none of us would. He did lose the joy of his salvation. Joy isn't happiness as the world knows it. This joy is so much deeper. The world finds its happiness in circumstances, in surroundings, in things. But it's not so with us who are born-again believers. The reason why we get restless, the reason why we get discontent, it's because we're not walking in the light of God's word. We're not walking in it. You know, head knowledge isn't going to do anything for us. This is a walk. It's a lifestyle. Notice the Lord places the highest evidence of His love as laying down His life for His people. He emphasizes that His death was totally voluntary. Christ calls those who believe in Him His friends. It speaks of His confidence and intimacy in and with us. So how or why should we ever let Him down? He wasn't only referring to the evidence of His love for us, but how our love should be toward one another. Proverbs 18:24. This is foundational. We owe it to Him to be faithful and obedient to what He's entrusted to us. If we tend to get neglectful, or we get slack or lazy, He's straight up, He will pull the plug, and He'll give someone else the opportunity to be faithful and obedient in His calling and in His work. Remember, when we got saved, we entered into the work of Jesus Christ. We've been commissioned, and we're enlisted as born-again believers. There is no turning from this. This is straight on until He takes us home. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this time that we have, Lord. And Father, I just pray that You would continue to bless the meetings, the calls, the conferences that we have, Lord. And God, that you would continue to bring growth and maturity into our lives spiritually, God. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. Go before us now. In Jesus' name, amen.